This paper that I'm going to tell you something about today is part of my whole manuscript about parenting, and I focus really on ASD and ADHD. And parenting behavior is a broad term, but in my manuscript I focus on parent-child interaction. I focus on parenting stress, on family climate, and on parent-child interaction. But today I'm going to tell you something about parenting styles and in parenting styles in families with ASD plus ADHD. And my thesis is recently published in ECAP. Some background. As we heard before from the other speakers, ASD and ADHD are both disorders that frequently co-occur within a family and within a patient. And because of the high heritability of ASD and ADHD, children with ASD or ADHD may often have one or two parents that also show similar subthreshold symptoms or above subthreshold symptoms of ASD and ADHD. And these parental symptoms may affect their parenting styles, and in this way create a suboptimal environment for these already vulnerable children. However, parenting and ASD is a very sensitive area of research. It is important, but there is not a lot of research on it. And I think that's the cause of the refrigerator mothers. And we heard the term before in some other talks, is that the cause of autism was attributed to that mothers were responsible for the child's autism. They were not warm enough, and that's the reason why children developed autism. So many mothers suffered from feelings of guilt and doubts about their parenting styles. However, it is universally accepted that autism is not caused by parenting styles, it's a more complex neurobiological disorder. There is not a lot of research done in this area. But the importance to research parenting styles is highlighted by the fact that a child with ADHD may have an impact on parenting styles, but also of have a negative effect on parenting styles. And in turn, negative parenting styles have also an effect on the child's development. And the child may develop additional behavioral problems besides ASD or ADHD. Further, since ASD and ADHD symptoms often co-occur within a family, it's also relevant to examine the combined effect of both disorders on parenting style. And this doesn't have is also not research of examined before. Before I discussing the analysis and the results, I'm going to explain something about parenting styles. Baumritz has conceptualized three parenting styles, the three main parenting styles. And this is the authoritative, the permissive, and the authoritarian parenting style. The authoritative parenting style is characterized by a large amount of control, and the parents are sensitive to the child's needs. So they display a lot of warmth towards the child. The authoritarian parenting style is characterized by parents that put a lot of discipline towards the child and gives a lot of control, but are insensitive to the needs of the child. So they're displaying less warmth than other parents that have the more authoritative parenting style. The permissive parenting style is characterized by a high level of responsiveness, but parents are tended to use less control to the child. Sorry, a little bit late. The authoritative parenting style is associated with more positive outcomes for a child. And you can imagine that a child with ASD and ADHD, although they must benefit with parents that put a lot of discipline and control and structureize their lives, you can imagine that parents that are insensitive to the needs of the child, that's maybe not so beneficial. So I think that still the authoritative parenting style is the most positive parenting style also for ASD and ADHD children. I found a research on the influence of parental symptoms. And this is one of the literature that I found, but I didn't find anything about ASD symptoms in parents and the influence on parenting. But when you look at ADHD, it seems like that parents that are scoring high on ADHD traits are less able to provide structure, less able to monitor the child, and provide less warmth towards the child. So you can imagine that they use a more permissive parenting style or the authoritarian parenting style. And in particularly, fathers were using more the authoritarian parenting style in this review. And it's interesting if we can replicate these findings also with parental ASD symptoms. But the greatest challenge to in research to parenting styles and parenting is to disentangle the effects of parental symptoms, child pathology, the effects of parental symptoms and child pathology on parenting styles. Because as we know, is that child pathology has also a profound effect on parenting styles. ASD and ADHD of the child may influence also parenting style, may also influence family climate, so also have a profound effect on parenting. And puts also a larger strain on parenting skills from the mother and the father. However, in the literature, we didn't find any papers about papers that include unaffected children and include parental pathology. So they, some put only parental symptoms and some put only child symptoms. We are including unaffected children in our research, and our two main aims is to examine if suboptimal parenting style exists in families with ASD and ADHD pathology, and we are going to disentangle the effects of child symptoms, parental symptoms, and also the reciprocal relationship between child and parental symptoms. Because you can imagine that when a mother has ADHD symptoms and a child has ASD symptoms, that's a combination that may be a mismatch for positive parenting style. We had the opportunity to select 96 families of an ongoing ASD genetic study, the same that Anouk has pointed out. And there was data available from both fathers and mothers, and both in relation to the affected child and the unaffected child. And these data allows us to disentangle the effect of child pathology and parental pathology. And we use the parenting styles towards the unaffected child as a reference point. So if related to if the parenting styles is related to parental pathology, it was expected that the parenting styles was expressed both towards the affected child and also to the unaffected child. If it was only related to child pathology, the parental styles was only expressed towards the affected child. Okay, we selected a subsample of 96 families, and we recruited families with at least one child between the age of 2 until 20 years old with an ASD diagnosis, or ADHD diagnosis, but ASD must be existing in the child. We screen all children of all of the families with the SJQ and Connors to measure the ASD and the ADHD symptoms. And we completed the ADIR and the PECS to confirm the formal diagnosis. The unaffected children were all children that didn't score above clinical cutoff. And we selected, besides the ASD affected child, we selected an unaffected child that was closest in age to the affected child. And this resulted in 46 same six pairs and 50 different six pairs, and with a mean age difference of 2.96 years. And all families were of Caucasian descent, and that was because we included this of this subsample of a genetic study, so we only include Caucasian descent, and on the limitation I'm going to get into that. We also included parents into our analysis. All parents were screened for ASD symptoms and for ADHD symptoms. And we didn't use clinical cutoff, we only used the continuum scores of the parents. And the parents completed the parenting styles and dimension questionnaire. And this was a questionnaire that measured the three parenting styles that I have mentioned before. And the responses were given on a 5-point scale. And this questionnaire has a good reliability. The parents completed the PSDQ four times. And once for their own behavior towards the affected child, once for their own behavior towards the unaffected child, once for the spouse behavior towards the affected child, and once for the spouse behavior towards the unaffected child. So four times. And Dutch norm data was available, so we can compare it with parents of typical developing children. I'm not going to explain our analysis in detail, but only some important issues what we have done in our data analysis. We use repeated measurements to correct for the dependence of our data. And we did the analysis with, we repeated the analysis with continuous child ASD and ADHD data. And we did that to examine the robustness of the findings. We correct also for possible confounders. We correct for family type because we may have children, families with a child with only ASD, but we may have also children or families with a child with ASD or of plus ADHD. We also correct for sex difference, and that's same sex, different sex. And we correct for absolute age difference and between the affected and unaffected child. We did also the separate analysis with the self-reported and spouse-reported parenting styles, and also for the the examining of the robustness of the findings. Okay, some results. The first figure shows the authoritative parenting style, the second, the authoritarian parenting style, and the third, the permissive parenting style. And the gray lines are the mothers, and the black lines are the fathers. And we divided the figures into affected children and unaffected children. Our research indicates that both fathers and mothers alike tend to use a more authoritative parenting style towards affected and unaffected children, as you can see here in this picture. And the other important finding is that parents of mothers and fathers alike are tended to use a more permissive parenting style towards affected children. So this may implies that parenting style, the more permissive parenting style, is evoked by child pathology. And you can imagine that the permissive parenting style is not favorable for children with ASD and ADHD, because this is the style with less control, but warmth. But yeah, maybe this household is more chaotic than other households with another parenting style. The main effects of parental symptoms. The first three figures at the first row, you can see the authoritative parenting style in relation to ADHD symptoms, and the authoritarian parenting style and the permissive parenting style in relation to parental ADHD symptoms. And the second row is parental ASD symptoms in relation to the parenting styles, all three parenting styles. As you can see, is that the gray lines are the mothers again, and the black lines are the fathers. Normal lines are the affected children, and the dotted lines are the unaffected children. And as you can see, is that in this figure, is that the parents with ADHD symptoms, and for and most specific only fathers with ADHD symptoms, are tended to use a less authoritative parenting style towards both children, and they are tended to use a more authoritarian parenting style and a more permissive parenting style when they have ADHD symptoms. And we found no effects of mothers towards the parenting styles, and we didn't also found no effects of ASD symptoms on parenting styles. However, this is an important finding, is that we found an interaction between parental and of a father ADHD symptoms and mother ASD symptoms. When father and mother score high on ADHD or ASD, they were more permissive. They are tended to use a more permissive parenting style towards the unaffected child. And we think about it, and we think that parents that have symptoms are less able to synchronize their behavior towards the unaffected child. But it implies that there must be attention towards the unaffected child. Okay, the most important research. Our research indicates that both fathers and mothers alike tend to apply a less authoritative parenting style towards affected and unaffected children, and a more permissive parenting style towards affected children. This suggests that only the permissive parenting style is evoked by a child pathology. And higher levels of ADHD symptoms in fathers, not mothers, were related to suboptimal scores on the three parenting styles. And also the permissive parenting style was also related to a mismatch between fathers with high ADHD symptoms and unaffected offspring and mothers with ASD symptoms and their unaffected siblings of the offspring. Almost all research were only present using self-reported parenting data and not with spouse-reported parenting data. And that's an important thing. And I think that our research must be replicated. But also, when you look at the literature, there is some evidence that self-reported parenting data is associated with home observation, and that's a large correlation between self-report and observations in the home situation. So we think that our data is still valid, but must be replicated if you can find that again. We also worked with continuous data for the fathers. We didn't use clinical cutoff. And however, our findings are still relevant in showing that that there is a relationship between parental ADHD symptoms and parenting styles. And it's present across the whole ADHD continuum and not only in a small clinical diagnosed subgroup. So maybe it's no limited at all. It's also unclear to what extent research are applicable to children affected with an ADHD-only diagnosis. We have only examined ASD-only or the ASD plus ADHD group. And also, findings may also be only attributed to families with Caucasian descent. And as we know, parental warmth may differ between cultures. So this research must also be replicated among other cultures. Some clinical implications. Important is that clinicians should not only focus on child behavior, but also on behavior of parents and siblings. So, the diagnostics and the treatment should preferably take place in an organization or a clinic with both child and adult psychopathology expertise, where you can do behavioral measurements and family functioning measurements. We propose that child and parental symptoms are separately treated to improve the treatment outcomes on family level. And in addition to the in-field treatment, family-based interventions are recommended. That was my talk, and maybe there are some questions. Are there any questions?
I really do hope that you have questions, because I do have questions, but I have to ask this question at her PhD defense, so I don't want to give away my questions.
Thank you. I would like to focus on your data collection techniques, because I'm concerned with how much you have met parents and other family members face to face, Was it just by asking questions? Did you ever consider observations in real time, real life mm-hmm. situations? Mm-hmm. If not, what's your opinion about replicating mm-hmm. Your project in this way?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a good question because due to practical issues, you are limited what you can measure. And we saw the families personal. We invited them at Karakter and for a whole research day. We collected other data, but also the parenting data. So we can help parents to complete the questionnaires if they have questions. So we saw them face to face. I think about I like that the observations and the home observation, but it's really time consuming. So we must make a choice, and so we only include questionnaires in our research to examine the parenting styles. Mm-hmm. And if you can replicate it, I recommend that you do also home observation, so you can measure the distinction between what I have found and if that's only relying on self-collected data or questionnaires, and if that is also supported by home observation. So it's possible, but it's time consuming, and mm-hmm. sometimes it's not possible or to include that in other research questions.
Yeah, I agree, because my point is that if you deal with relationship or dynamics within a family,
mm-hmm.
Observation is crucial. It's very...
Yes, it is. Okay. Yeah. Very good point.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. I wondered if you measured things like parental stress or depression, given mm-hmm. that they're potentially quite stressful families.
Yeah, I did that, but not in this abstract or not in this paper. I measure parenting stress and I measure depressive symptoms in ASD and ADHD symptoms, but that is on the whole presentation on itself. Maybe you can change our email so I can give you some information about that.